Well, guys, we have come to the end of a journey here this morning in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be closing out the series, the Ask and Imagine series, today with the final chapter, chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 20. So grab those Bibles and follow along with me. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I speak." The Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I just want to pray what Paul prays right here when he says, "Pray that I may speak the message." So Lord, today I pray that as I open my mouth to speak this message that declares with boldness the mystery of the gospel of Christ, God, would you empower these words? Would you open our hearts to receive them, that we may be bold for your kingdom? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, today we're going to talk about a topic that may not be real familiar with some of us. I want to talk about spiritual warfare this morning. Now, I've been knowing I was going to preach on this for a while, but just this week, I want you to know that I had two phone calls, one through the pastoral care line, another from a former person that lived in the Tupelo area that used to watch our service in Columbus on TV. She tracked me down here in Clinton, and both of these people had questions of a spiritual warfare nature. And that's the strangest thing, is because I don't get a lot of questions about that. You know, as in our tradition here in the Methodist Church, we don't, you know, have a lot of language about spiritual warfare. We probably should, but we just don't. We just don't talk about it a whole lot. So, you know, I know that when we start talking about these things, especially during the Halloween season, you know, we're like, I need to listen to this. You know, it gets our attention a little bit. We sit on the edge of our seat. We want to know more about this. And certainly when we get here in this final chapter of Ephesians, what we're understanding is that Paul starts talking about this spiritual battle that goes on a daily basis. And what I want us to do this morning is to focus on this conversation for a minute and talk about how we're called to fight spiritual battles. So I want to go back into Ephesians 6 here for just a moment, and I'm only going to be focusing on the first four verses of what I just read, okay? That's where we're going to hone in the most today, and I just want to remind you of what Paul says. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power." Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And he says, because we know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand on that evil day and to stand firm. Okay? So I love this passage. I love what Paul's talking about here. Now, Paul has been using throughout this book a whole lot of imagery to help us to understand spiritual realities. You know, at the very beginning, he talks about how we were once in darkness, in our sin, alienated from God, and how through Jesus Christ and through salvation, through new birth, we are brought into the light of God's truth and God's righteousness and our identity as children of God. So he helps us to understand the spiritual reality of going from death to life. And he talks about it's like going from darkness to light. And I love that imagery. And then when he starts talking about the community of faith, he uses the imagery of a temple. He says, we are God's temple, built up in Christ. And so we are the body of Christ. You know, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about us being a body with all these different parts. Well, in Ephesians, he talks about us being a building, that how we're all formed together. Think about like a brick structure, a stone structure, and how those things are made into one thing, one community. And so now here we have Paul using a different type of imagery. He's talking about this armor of God and how we are engaged in a spiritual fight. Now, where does Paul pick up on this imagery from? Now, we've often said, well, Paul probably draws upon this because there's a Roman soldier outside his jail cell when he's writing this letter. That may very well be the case. But I think Paul gets this from his Bible. I mean, he is an Old Testament guy, right? He's a Jewish first century person. And so this was his Bible, the Old Testament. And throughout the Old Testament, we find all of this imagery about the world, this perspective of the world that is like this cosmic battle going on between good and evil. I mean, we see it right on the very first pages of the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve are tempted by the serpent in the garden. We see the struggle between the deceiver and God's creatures. And so we realize right from the very beginning that something's going on here. That there's God, and then there's this force of evil that is opposed. And then we get to the book of Job, which is really the oldest book in the Bible, the oldest tradition in the Bible. Some believe that Job was a contemporary of Abraham. And when we read his story, it begins in the very first verses with Satan coming before God and saying to God, you know, he says, the only reason Job serves you is because you've paid him off. You've given him all these blessings and all this good stuff. And he says, as soon as you withhold your blessing or take your hand from upon him, then he'll surely curse you. And so we see there this accuser, this enemy, Satan, that is coming before God and making accusations about humanity and our relationship to God. And so this struggle we see is ongoing. And then it carries on in the life of Jesus and his ministry. He was opposed. There were all these forces, it seemed to be, at work against his message and the gospel. You know, John's word to us tells us that it's like this light and darkness, again, that we see sort of, you know, rubbing against each other through the message of Jesus, that some would receive his message and believe in him, and others, they couldn't, they wouldn't. And eventually, because of the opposition to Jesus, he is ultimately crucified because many saw him as a threat to their power. And so he's crucified. And, you know, so we see this struggle that's ongoing. And when we get to the end of the Bible, to the book of Revelation, boy, it really comes into light for us, this cosmic battle. Y'all want to hear a good Revelation passage this morning? Boy, we like Revelation, don't we? Well, in Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, I want you to hear the imagery of this text. So the great dragon was thrown down, the old snake, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. The accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them day and night before our God, has been thrown down. They gained the victory over him on account of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their witness. Love for their lives didn't make them afraid to die." So the imagery that John sees in this passage is of this battle, this ancient struggle that's been going on, and how God has thrown down Satan, our enemy, and defeated him. And the ultimate defeat comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. His power is broken. And through the word of the testimony of the saints of God, he continues to be thrown down. He continues to be overcome until the final day. And so we get this sense that evil is conquered fully in the end of time. And right now we're still experiencing this ongoing struggle where Satan has lost the battle, has lost the ultimate war, but there's still all these little fights that go on, especially in the world that we live in, not only in this generation, but all generations. We all know what it feels like to fight these spiritual battles. And what Paul wants us to know is that we know that this story has been playing out for a long time. That this is our narrative. This is how we view the world as people of faith, through what the Bible teaches us. And it also makes clear who our enemy is. Okay? Our enemy. And Paul says the enemy, listen to what he says in verse 12. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. In other words, it's not really against one another. So many times we fight with each other and we think our enemy is the other person, when a lot of times there's something else at play here. There's another power. There's something else that is motivating these tensions that we experience in our world. And Paul says that these powers are the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil. In other words, there are things going on that we can't see with our eyes directly. And this is our enemy. This is what we're fighting against. So this battle has been going on for so long. And we wonder, you know, what is our hope then? Well, what is the good news? Well, the good news that Paul helps us to understand is that we are not powerless in this fight. Yes, we're called to stand up against evil in our world. We have been given some resources. And the thing about this armor, when you start digging into it, all the different pieces of it, you know, you have the belt of truth, you have the breastplate of righteousness, you have your feet prepared with the readiness of to proclaim the gospel of peace, you have the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, you have the helmet of salvation, and you have the battle language, the battle cry. You know, people going into battle have these songs and shouts, and Paul says that battle language is our prayers. It's our prayer language. And so all of these things, and when you think about, they are God's gifts to us. It's God's armor. And it has come to us through Jesus. Because of Jesus, we know the truth. Because of Jesus, we're made righteous. Because of Jesus, we have faith in what God has done and accomplished through Christ. You know, because of Jesus, we have this gospel of peace that we get to go and proclaim. We have salvation. And we know that our prayers are powerful and effective because Jesus is our intercessor before the throne of God. And when we call upon His name, we know that our prayers are heard. All of these things, y'all, strengthen us in these fights that we find ourselves in, these struggles against evil. We have the strength of God. Listen to verse 10 again. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and His powerful strength. Y'all, we have God's strength. The armor is God's. It is His strength and power that are contained in these things and not our own. And God, and y'all, we know, we hear that refrain throughout Scripture as well, where it says the battle belongs to God. It's not our battle. It's God's battle, and He'll fight our battles if we'll trust Him. You know, Paul said in his moment of dealing with this thorn in the flesh that the word of the Lord came to him saying, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." And then another place we learn that in our weakness, Christ's strength is made perfect. You know, we're trusting not in our own strength here, but in God's strength. And this is what Paul is inviting us to lean into here at the beginning of this passage. And y'all, we know what it feels like to be in a struggle as believers, in a world, in a culture that oftentimes, you know, is adversarial against us. You know, we feel some days that we're on the front lines of a battle for our faith, you know, for what we believe in, for the truth of Scripture. You know, there's opposition to those things. You know, the cultural current of our times, you know, we feel like it's dragging, it's wanting to drag us away from believing in the truth of God's Word. We feel our kids are being faced with all sorts of struggles and temptations. There are people praying. You know, there are forces at work through. You know, we had a situation that happened in Starkville, I think it was last year, where there was this young teenager that got sucked into this, I think it was through email, and this young kid ended up committing suicide because of the threats that were being made because of what happened there. Is these phishing emails trying to get information and get our children to send them pictures and all kinds of things. There is all of this stuff we feel in our world. We wrestle with the tension of all of this. And then we look at these great big struggles going on, like what's going on in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas. And y'all, we've been watching in the news these atrocities that have been perpetrated on innocent people. We've heard horrible things happening to children. And we say, oh my gosh, how can humanity do these sorts of things? How does this evil exist? Y'all, this makes us aware of these spiritual battles. And then consider one of the epidemics of our own time, mass shootings in schools. You know, what is the source of this evil? You know, is it mental illness? Are there too many guns readily available on the streets? You know, is this behavior that we see the result of kids getting bullied? Where does this come from? Is it sort of endemic of our society when we devalue human life so little? Y'all, we scratch our heads because we don't really know, right? We can't seem to put our finger on it. There's a force, there's something at work here. It can feel overwhelming. But the Bible gives us some great passages to remind us not to get discouraged in the fight. And one of those passages that we find comes from Isaiah chapter 40. And, you know, there Isaiah is really putting our focus on the greatness of who God is. And over, we find these types of things being said about God. That it says, who has measured the waters in the palm of his hand? Who or gauged the heavens with a ruler? I mean, how many of us can measure the heavens? How many of you can measure how much earth is on this planet with a measuring cup? We can't do those things. But God can. God is big. God is powerful. He has created everything that is. Nobody advised God on how to make it, all this stuff. How to create a human body. You know, how to create the universe. None of us serve as counsel to God. He is God. He is powerful. He is the strength of all strengths. And the Bible makes this clear that no one is like God. There is none beside Him. His strength and power are incomparable and inexhaustible. This is how big God is. This is how big the God that we serve is, in whose strength is made available to folks like you and me in our moments of weakness. Where do you get your strength? God never gets faint or weary. He is seated on the throne, and we're called to draw our strength from Him. Now, sometimes when we think about how we draw strength from the Lord, there's a story that I'm reminded of in the book of 1 Samuel. It's 1 Samuel, and I want to refer to it for just a moment. It's chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. And the context of this story is King David, okay? So King David has been out fighting against their enemies, Israel's enemies. And one of the cities is attacked by the Amalekites, the city of Ziklag. And residing in this city were a number of women and children that were the wives and children of some of David's fighting men. And two of David's wives actually lived in the city. Well, the Amalekites, they come and they attack the city. And they take off the women and children as prisoners of war. And then they burn the city down. David and his army, they come to the city and they see what has happened and listen to their response. When David and his men came to the city, they found it burned down and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. Now, y'all, that's a lot of weeping. That's a lot of grief and a lot of sadness. You know, if you ever find yourself weak from grief, that is real weakness. And that's what David and them, how they respond in this situation. We're told that David's two wives were taken into captive. And it says, listen to verse 6. David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him. Talk about a spiritual battle. So here's a man whose home, whose town, where some of his people are living, is attacked. And they're needing a scapegoat. Who do they blame? David, it's your fault. We should have been here. We've been off fighting your battles. We should have been here to protect our families. And so David is feeling weak and vulnerable at this moment. Listen to what happens. It says, because all the people were bitter in spirit for their sons and daughters. Listen to this. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, in this moment, what it tells me is that David is feeling all alone in this spiritual battle that's going on. And you know, it reminds me that there's sometimes we fight against things. Sometimes there are internal struggles that we have. Sometimes there's circumstances that are going on. And we feel powerless. And we just need to know that in some of those seasons, nobody is coming to help us. You know, some Sundays we come to church and we're looking to God for an answer and the sermon just doesn't bring it. What do we do in those moments? We have to learn the principle of David here. He learned how to strengthen himself in the Lord. Now, what does that look like? I can imagine this man turning in prayer to God and saying something like this: God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn to. But all I know to do is just surrender myself to you. God, I know that you are bigger than these problems. I know that I am secure in your hand. I know that I have been called by you, that I am yours, and that you're mine. Maybe that's what that looked like. I don't know, but I know in my weakest moments, that's what I have had to learn to do. You know, I remember as a child, when I was really young, you know, I used to be afraid at night. I'd be afraid of the dark. And I would lay in my bed, and I had to learn, because of, you know, calling my mom and dad in there when nothing was going on, you know, there eventually came a time when they stopped coming. Now, they would have been there if they knew I was sick or if there was really any, you know, something important happening, but they knew that that I was dealing with fear, right? We all seem to go through these phases of life. What I had to learn to do was to trust God in those fearful moments. You know, we grow up and we're strengthened. We learn that all those bad things that we imagine might happen, that those things more than likely will never happen. That a lot of times our fears are irrational. And we learn that sometimes we just pray ourselves to sleep. And we get up the next morning and we say, hey, you know what? I got through that. And so we learn to overcome. We learn to be strengthened as we trust God. David learns this principle, y'all. He is strengthened. He understands that God is our strength. You know, I'm also reminded of one last little story that I want to tell you about that connects the end of this passage. It's Job's story. You know, the Job that I talked about a moment ago, that Satan, you know, he goes before God, and everything that in Job's life starts falling apart. You know, God just kind of steps back, and there's all these circumstances that start happening. His family is attacked by their enemies. His sons and daughters are killed. His flocks and herds are destroyed. And we find this moment in Job's life where he is devastated. He is at this moment of weakness. There's this battle that's going on in his life. There are these forces that work against him and his family. And I want you to listen to how chapter 1 ends. It says, then Job arose. Now, what you need to know is that before he arises, I can imagine Job being kind of just down on his knees in grief, in sadness, in pain, at all of the loss. But it says there comes a point when Job stands up. He arises. He tears his robe. He shaves his head. And then he falls on the ground again and he worships. And in verse 21, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And it said, in all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. So Job, he suffers this severe blow, this attack. Then he stands up in God's strength. Job is doing battle, y'all. He's standing up amidst these adversities in his life. And then he falls down to the ground in humility and worship and surrender and trust in God. And there in prayer and worship, Job fights his battles. He finds confidence in the strength of the Lord that comes from this place of humility and trust. He realizes that no matter what happens, I know that God's got this. And that's I think, some of what Paul is talking about here. And four times at the end of this section, he says, stand up. Stand firm. Stand, knowing that it is God who strengthens you. And I just want to encourage you with that today, with that word, that the Lord has got this. We fight battles, He's won the victory. All of this is through the strong man of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God for that. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word that strengthens us today, Lord. God, we feel like sometimes we're fighting these battles in our lives, that there's an adversary against us trying to trip us up and tempt us, get us to abandon our faith and our trust in you. God, there are these circumstances that we go through in our lives that weaken us, that grind on us day after day. But God, I pray you would strengthen your people, that you would remind us of what Christ has done, that you would remind us of the strength of the Lord our God that we serve. And God, I pray that you would encourage us in these struggles to stand up for your word of truth, to not let anything diminish the righteousness that we have in Christ. The accuser tries to bring up our sin and our struggles and remind us of our brokenness. But God, we will choose to believe what you say about us, that we are the righteousness of God through Christ, that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we remember that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers at work in dark places. So, Father, we ask you to remind us of these things, strengthen our faith, and let nothing stand in the way of the proclamation of the gospel of peace in our world today. Lord, we need the light to shine. We pray that your people would stand up and be strong in your mighty power. In this hour, help your church to stand up for the truth, Stand up for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, encourage us, we pray. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to send you forth with this benediction from Psalm 28, verses 7 and 8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart celebrates, and I give thanks to Him with my song. The Lord is the strength of His people. He is a stronghold of salvation for His anointed. Go forth in the strength and the peace of Christ our Savior this morning.